Welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help. And now, we turn it over to your host, Sarah Dokowitz.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that provides independent and technology agnostic advice to help organizations through their digital transformation journeys. This show will help you dial in on what it takes to drive a successful digital transformation journey. You will learn about the best practices and premier strategies used from industry leaders who have driven millions of dollars in net positive business transformations. In the next 20 minutes, we'll cover another important element you need to know to make your digital transformation successful. My name is Sarah Dokowitz, and I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining us today. In today's episode, we are going to cover the metrics and measurements companies should consider utilizing as they venture into their digital transformation journeys. On what basis should a company determine the success of a software implementation? There are tons of obvious metrics companies will utilize, but it's important to set a gauge for the elements that truly move the needle, yet may not always be the most obvious to the eye. Nate Stroer and his team have seen the difference that setting the right metrics can have on the overall success of a project, and he is here to share those insights with you. Nate is the Director of Strategy and Transformation of Third Stage Consulting Group, an independent and technology-agnostic digital transformation consulting firm. He and his team have worked with some of the world's leading organizations in their transformation journeys, and they have seen what makes successful projects tick. Nate, thank you for joining us for the show today. Super grateful that you're here.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, before we dive in, let's start from a bird's eye view, shall we? So we have a Digital Stratosphere episode fully dedicated to organizational change management as a whole for those who want to dive into the higher level elements of the concept. But I'd love to hear from you and your perspective why change management is such a critical part of a digital transformation.
Basically, change management is really viewed as somewhat of the soft side of a change management, but it's really important because with any digital transformation, you have the people side of the technology and the people side of a project. Change management addresses really basically what I would say is outside of all the technical issues that you traditionally have in a software platform implementation. It allows you to address and control and help the organization to better become successful with their digital transformation by connecting with the folks that will actually be using the technology every day, getting them familiar with what the benefits are, and really just giving them an overall sense of ownership in the entire project. And so it really is bridging that gap between the technology on and off switch, which is the other side, the technical side of the project, to really letting people know how they're involved, what it'll do for them, and what the change means to them.
Awesome. Got it. Now, when setting on a digital transformation journey, it's a given that companies will utilize the general surface level metrics like the return on investment, for example, to determine the success of their project. Why should leaders focus on peeling back the layers and identifying the hidden metrics applicable to their projects?
There's really two reasons for doing it. And the ROI is a real simple one that everyone is very familiar with. And that really gives you an idea of why you're doing the project and what you stand to gain from the project. Beyond that, and with other metrics, and then deeper into ROI, it's really important that you're measuring these areas, because not only are you trying to say, is the project and are we better off with the new technology in place, but really it allows you, after you put the technology into place and after you go live with a new technological platform, it allows you to monitor and to really fine-tune your organization. So you'll have your initial metrics that'll say, yes, we did we did make the right decision by implementing the technology, hopefully. And then further down the road really allows you to start to focus in more and more on what changes can we make to the new technology. And there will always be changes you can make to the new technology. What can we do to make this even more better suited for our organization? And how can we take better advantage of what we've purchased and what we've implemented?
Yeah, that makes total sense. And project planning is really like one of the first steps a company would take to begin their digital transformation journey. So I assume it's during this initial phase that transformation teams are considering the metrics they would like to use that would deem the project successful. So let's touch on the project mapping process and the groundwork that should be done to keep results on track.
Yeah, it basically, this is one of the more overlooked pieces of a project, but it's really important with any project, not just digital transformation, but that you have a really clear, defined idea of where, not only where you are today, but where you're going. And I always compare it to if 10 planes were to take off and they were all heading towards the same destination, let's say LA, it's not enough to just say we're all flying to LA, we'll meet you there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. They really need to sit down and say, first of all, where's everyone starting from? And then where exactly are we going? There's five or six, I think, major airports in the LA area. If we just say we're all going to LA, we're all going to end up, or there's a good chance we'll end up at the same airport, but there's also a good chance we'll end up at different airports. So it's often overlooked, and people think this is really not a very necessary process. We all know that the technology is going to improve. We all know that we are going to get better, but it's that actual process of taking and being very specific, again, not only where we are, but where we're going, and then mapping out how we're going to get there from everyone's point of view throughout the organization.
Yeah. And to piggyback off that, most projects start that 50,000 foot view and zoom in from there to see a detailed yet big picture approach to project planning. And
it's very much, I think, throughout my career in consulting, I think it's you often get most resistance from this step. Everyone says we've got a clear picture and we know where we're going. Let's just move on to the next step. And really after sitting down and walking through these steps with the entire organization, it's really one of the few times where the client will come back and say, that was a very useful exercise, because while we all really had a good idea, it was actually defining where we were going and where we were that really solidified the project and gave us a good idea of what we need to do to get to where we want to go.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And like that clarity piece, I think, can pertain to every aspect of life. And so often it's like, it seems very like simple to think of, but then when it actually comes to the implementation, you're like, oh, maybe I wasn't as clear as I thought as well.
Yeah, I've often heard people talk about, what the most popular subject, especially now that we're in this pandemic, is weight loss. And everyone says, well, I want to lose weight. Well, that can mean 100 different things to 100 different people. So it's always good to, if that exercise is easy and you can sit down and do it in 5 minutes, well, then good, move on to the next step and you're already there. But again, it's not as easy as it seems. And it's really that clarification piece that gets you a good idea of where you're going.
Yeah, absolutely. As it pertains to change metrics, would you say that there are a few preliminary steps like leadership teams should take as they build their business plan and project roadmap to help them dial in on the proper key metrics for their project?
Yeah, I think that the key is that it's really that starting point. And I'm going to piggyback a little bit on what we just talked about. Mm-hmm. But it's really that point of getting a leadership team together and looking at the mission and the vision for the organization, and then say, come to a clear understanding. And again, for some organizations, that's a 5 to 10 minute conversation. They can put the vision on the board and they can say, okay, we're all in alignment. Great. Now let's go to the next step. Once you get that vision laid out, then it's really sitting down and saying, how will the technology specifically help us to get closer to that vision or to achieve that vision, and then take it even one step further and say, okay, how, now that we know that the technology or the new the new platform that we're going to put into place, now that we know that it can help us, specifically, how is it going to help us, and how can we measure is what we're putting in place truly helping us get to that ultimate goal, and that is to fulfilling our vision?
Yeah, absolutely. That totally makes sense. And the project's end game value will be determined by those metrics and objectives set forth at the beginning of the implementation. So that's awesome. So when we come back from a quick break, Nate and I are actually going to dive into specific metrics that your team can utilize to determine the success of your digital transformation. We'll be right back with more of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
Welcome back to the Digital Stratosphere podcast. I'm Sarah Dokovic, speaking with Nate from Third Stage Consulting about the proper way to measure success during an organizational change. So Nate, I want to shift our focus to a recent article that you wrote regarding specific metrics organizations are utilizing to peel back the layers and measure the more granular details to make up a successful digital transformation. Now, organizational change management pre-COVID prior to 2020 looked a bit different than it has this year. Teams are working remotely. You have a lot more dependency on the internet from both consumers and your employees. Some services and products are becoming irrelevant while others are booming. And it's been a different landscape this year. Some of these changes will likely stick as we go into 2021 and beyond. And how have you seen these cultural changes impact the metrics utilized today versus in 2019 and prior? Are they the same or are they different? What does that look like?
Well, I think, we definitely are, it's no secret that we're definitely doing business differently than we did even, 11 months ago. But ultimately the metrics or the ultimate vision of the organization is still the same. How we do our jobs and how we fulfill this vision has changed, but it's really more, I would say it's more of the tools and the way we do that, the way we perform our job to get to the ultimate vision and satisfying the vision of the organization is really where the change is. So for example, someone that works in finance still has the same job to do, whether they're sitting 5 feet from you or 500 miles from you working remotely. The real difference for the way we're measuring things differently is just the different technology that we use. So again, we're still ultimately getting to that goal. It's just we will be using technology different, and by using technology different, we will look to different metrics to tell us how well and how efficiently we are using that technology.
And this past summer, you wrote the top 5 change management metrics that our listeners can read on the Third Stage website, which is thirdstageconsulting.com. And in this article, you highlight some of the most commonly utilized metrics that companies are using in recent times to help them track the success factors of the digital transformation. So let's start from the top. What is the most common key metric that you see companies utilizing to measure the success of their digital transformations this year?
Well, we'll start with resource productivity. And that really is... Again, kind of what we just spoke about, that's really going to be a little bit different than someone sitting in an office versus someone working remotely. So if this is really measuring, this metric is really measuring how productive someone is at their job. And again, or not again, but introducing these metrics, it's important to know that we are looking at this from a technology point of view. So we want to look at how the technology is allowing the resource, which is our employees in this case, to do their job, to do it more efficiently, and to do it better. There's a lot of other factors at play, and obviously, as we're working remotely and we're changing to this new workplace in not only in the US, but all throughout the world, there's a lot of other factors that are beyond technology. So what we're really trying to do is to look at how can we measure specifically what kind of a job or how productive the technology is that we've put in place.
Got it. Yeah. It sounds like this is the do more with the same or the less kind of mentality and tracking that. And do you happen to have like any success stories from the past that third stage clients you've worked with saw this come, you know, true through their ERP implementations?
Yeah, I think really one of the more interesting outcomes that we've had with past clients, and this was actually pre-COVID. So this was really a client that had embraced a different way of working or this remote technology and this remote workspace, again, before it was really kind of thrust upon all of us because of this virus. Mm-hmm. But they were able to actually, within their growth strategy, they were a quickly growing company. They were growing about 20% year over year and really expanding their workforce. And they were having a real challenge, given their location, to get the qualified financial resources that they need, or that resources from a finance and accounting point of view to do the job. So they ended up introducing, they came to third stage to help them with a technology that would allow more of a remote workplace, and they would allow their employees to either be located in different states or to allow them to work remotely and not have to have the time and expense of a commute. So what we did is we helped them with the technology, and then we were able to say, what is the workload and where do you predict that you will have to expand your workforce, and can we do more with the technology in place with the same amount of employees, or can we slow down the growth of hire or the rate of hiring so that we are able to make the employee more productive?
Ah, awesome. Yeah, love that. And what is the number two on the list of metrics to consider?
One thing that we look at from a sales organization is average days to close. So this is just a measure of sitting down and saying, once a lead or once a prospect becomes a lead, how quick can we close this deal? And there's all the different factors, depending on what type of an organization it is, that play into taking a prospect and a lead and turning them into a sale. You have the quote, you have the resource planning, the financial side of it, the contracts and the negotiation side of it. And so that in using the technology to create a better workflow, organizations will be able to tighten that period between when they first meet a client to when the client becomes a customer. So this one is one of those that seems pretty straightforward, but it's really sitting down and actually defining this and defining what all those different variables are and how the technology is going to help. And that's a really important part of it, is take away the factors that really are independent of technology and just narrow it down to, if here's what we have before we put the technology in place and here's what we have after we put the technology in place, and how are we doing it better? And in some cases, it's not as a huge jump, and then we use the metrics and we use the answers that are provided by the metrics to go through and make the adjustments to further tighten that sales cycle down from prospect to customer.
Yeah, that's amazing. And reporting is often seen as like the busy work of someone's job. So I'm sure like automating that is not only makes it just more accurate, but also more productive for employees in general as well. And yeah, that's awesome. And what's the third metric you've seen as the most popular among your clients?
We talk about it probably the third, and we have a lot of manufacturing clients, and we talk about improved inventory cost. And this was probably most relevant in a client that we had that really their inventory and their cost of inventory was the difference between a project becoming mildly profitable to extremely profitable. It was how quick they could turn around that raw material into a finished product and get it out to the customer. It was a highly complex manufacturing process. And really, the tighter the customer or the client was able to get in to forecasting what they needed, bringing the material in, not having it sitting around too long, but not delaying the process down by getting the material in and then getting it out the door and actually recognizing the revenue from the customer was extremely important. So they were actually able to cut their inventory cost by 75% within a year and a half, which with this company, and some companies, that's really not that big of a deal. With this company, it was really the difference between having a good year and an extremely successful year the 2 years following.
Wow, that's awesome. And would you say that this is applicable to only like certain industries, or is it relevant in a different variation across the board? What would you say?
I think it's relevant to all industries. And what I alluded to earlier is this specific client that I just referenced, their inventory costs were very high, and it was a very specific and a very detailed manufacturing process. But no matter what, inventory cost, labor cost, and all the different costs that you have within an organization, the more you can get a handle on what exactly that is, and you can start to measure it, and you can start to, what I say, be proactive versus reactive in how you address these different costs, will span across all organizations, be it manufacturing, be it services. It's really that ability to fine tune and to sit down and look and say, here's where we are today, and here's how technology is enabling us to tighten that down more and more.
Awesome. That makes sense. What is the fourth metric for change management?
One of the really important ones that we're seeing, we do a lot of work around the customer relationship management software, the CRM software, which is really very hot today. And one of the metrics that our clients are getting a lot, retaining a lot of value from, is the cost to acquire and retain customers. And that basically is saying, how much do we spend from the time that we originally contact someone as a lead or a prospect to them actually becoming a customer? And you have technology plays a part in this in many different ways. Everyone thinks about, you know, kind of the obvious, and that is your advertising dollar, your the time spent actually meeting the customer, taking them to dinner, doing all those various things. But this is really, technology really gives you a much better grasp on what technologies are working for you. So when gone are the days where you just put an advertisement out and you said, okay, we put an advertisement in the Wall Street Journal and we have a bunch of clients. Now you can actually get a lot more specific with digital technology and with the different technologies in place to actually say, this customer started with a click on this site, and we know that out of every 100 customers we get a click on, it turns into a prospect, and they eventually turn into a customer. So it's really allowing us to basically sit down and say, how much is not only the cost to get a customer, but where can we put our dollars that are the most efficient and most likely to turn into a sale?
Awesome. And I'm sure this one's relevant across many industries, and likely regardless if there's a pandemic or not. I think that's one of the big things, cost per acquisition things. And what is the final metric that you refer to in your article?
Well, one that's not as relevant today, or as isn't making as many headlines today, but we talk about the cost of regulatory compliance violations. And basically what we talk about is that's the cost of avoiding litigation, fines, potential shutdowns of companies. And really, this is one of those that's somewhat hard to measure, because if you don't get in trouble, obviously you have zero cost. But how we like to talk about this is, you know, all organizations have risks no matter what they are. And this is really sitting down and using technology to track how we can best mitigate those risks. Not you're never going to eliminate risk, but it's really picking out areas that put you at the highest risk, and then start to measure what's the technology and what are the processes we can put in place that surround that technology that are going to lower that risk. So this is one that's a little bit more of a soft metric because there's a lot of different variables that come into play with compliance violations, but it's really sitting down and it's saying to the executives, which is the folks that we're selling these to, what's going to make you sleep better at night knowing that you're doing everything you can to keep your company out of the headlines.
Mitigating risks manually versus having a software that helps you do it sounds like it would just save a lot of headaches and eliminate some human error there too.
it makes them sleep a lot better. It doesn't eliminate the risk, but it cuts it down greatly.
For sure. That's huge. Now, as it pertains to the people side of organizational change management, what are some of the common metrics that you've seen act as a good gauge for companies trying to best manage their team's adaptation to the new processes and procedures?
I think when we talk about that kind of the HR side of the metrics and the HR side of change management, it's really sitting down and trying to figure out an organization's ability to recruit, attract, hire, and retain the best talent out there. We have a lot of clients over the past 4 or 5 years that are in the healthcare industry and are vying for the top talent everywhere from the administration level to the doctors to the nurses. And what we try and show with the change management and with the metrics around this, what I'll call kind of the softer side of it, is how easy is it for you to find an employee, hire them, and keep them? And what can be traced to technology to make their job more satisfying or ease some of the pains of the job that are just a daily routine? And really kind of how is technology making them want to stay at your organization versus leaving at another organization? We obviously can't control the variables, be it geographic location, salary, that sort of thing. But what we can say is, within this, we have the ability to make their job as good as we can by implementing these different technologies and these different strategies. And how is that being, is that effective, and how is it working, and how can we fine tune that to make that even better in the future?
I love that. There's so much information, so much to take in. So this is amazing. Thanks for sharing those insights. Now, if listeners want to learn more about digital transformations and OCM strategy, what are some resources that you might suggest for them?
I think Third Stage Consulting has a lot of blogs and a lot of articles out there on our website. We have the various podcasts that we're doing. And I would just say, get in touch with any of us from Third Stage Consulting, watch our blogs, read our articles, and really read up as much as you can, and then call and ask, and we'd be happy to run through how the technology and how Third Stage Consulting can help you in the future with not only your technology, but the change management to better your odds of getting the successful outcomes that you have or that you want from that technology.
Amazing. Well, thank you. And we're about out of time, but again, thank you so much for being here and sharing all those insights. A lot of people, I'm sure, have been waiting to hear all of this information. So thank you so much, Nate.
Thank you, Sarah.
Of course. And thank you all for listening. My name is Sarah Dugovic, and we'll see you next time on our next episode of the Digital Stratosphere podcast.
Contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.